I hope you are ready for Christmas. It's quite strange. So normally when we do these kind of family things, we get people up and ask what they've had for Christmas and whether they like their Christmas gifts. Has anybody had their Christmas present already? Wow. So what did you have for Christmas?
Chocolates.
That's a good start. Christmas is off to a good start in that house. Over here, what do you have?
You bought me a pair of boots you might not know about.
I didn't know. It's good to know now. So confession is good for the soul. Anybody else had a Christmas present already? Up the back here. What have you had?
My daughter bought me a new video game.
A new video game? And you're playing that already?
Yes.
Ah, spoiled it. What about over here, Heidi? What have you had?
Nail varnish and lipstick.
Nail varnish and lipstick. Okay, I think the video game sounds better, but yeah, that's good. Good stuff. So who can tell me what their favourite thing is about Christmas?
Family.
I'm going to go here again. What do you like about Christmas?
What's she going to say?
Got it.
Getting presents.
What's your favourite thing about Christmas?
Christmas dinner.
Yeah, that's definitely a contender for me. Evie, what's your favourite thing about Christmas?
Presents.
It's pretty cool. Anybody else? Go on, Em.
Christmas lunch.
It's all about the food.
Wine.
Yeah. Oh, I know, Lindy, yeah. Anybody over here, what do you really love about Christmas?
Presents.
How about you?
Waiting for Santa to come.
Yep. Good stuff. I think what's for me, Christmas, I like Christmas, actually. I mean, I kind of moan about it a lot in the build-up. But I do like the week between Christmas and New Year. I love the fact that everything kind of stops. I really appreciate that. I like being at home. I like just being with family, really. Eating stuff, drinking stuff, basically sitting around watching rubbish films, listening to rubbish songs, but generally just kind of blobbing with family. That's what I like about Christmas. Let's watch a little video from the streets of Chichester about what people love about Christmas. Oh, that's the notices. That's not a video. I didn't do the notices. That's why. See, I told you it wouldn't be a well-oiled machine. We are a slave to our PowerPoint. I'll tell you what I need is the other PowerPoint. We'll come back to the notices. I'll do that later.
So you want your fridge?
Yeah. Because I'm on a roll now. Trust me, I'm a professional. I know exactly what I'm doing. It starts with the same picture. That's what threw me. There we go. Just back up by about 30 seconds, and we're going to watch a video. Yeah, what? There we go.
Christmas means to me, it means family. It means being close to the ones you love and remembering all the good things you have in life.
A time when you can spend time with your families, eat loads of food.
I'm a new dad and my son was born in March, so I'm very, very excited about spending the day with him and seeing him open his presents and then see really his reaction and my family, sort of his grandparents' reaction.
Plus, there's always the advantage of getting a day off work, which is always great.
What I really love is on Christmas Eve going to Midnight Mass and everybody coming together and all the candles being lit and singing carols and songs and things like that and seeing all my friends.
Presents, get time with your family.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
Clothes.
Peace.
Yeah. Nice big dinner.
Yeah.
Roast,
turkey.
Yeah, dinner's the best.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
It means that I get to eat like good food that's not from Iceland that costs £1 and is covered in salt. And I don't have to cook it for once. I don't have to do my own washing either. I get to sleep in a nice comfy bed and my house is warm. which is in uni. My house has no heating and my bed is very much hard.
Being together, just having a nice time and thinking of people less fortunate, I suppose.
I think it means family. I think the religious aspect is one thing, but I think it's more about family getting together, for me, anyway. I live in the United States, so I come over for Christmas to be with my family, and it's important.
Well, really, it's meeting the grandchildren, I suppose, really, you know, and all being together. They all sing little songs, and we all have a good time, you know, I mean, and it'll be lovely, you know, there, yeah.
To me, Christmas means spending time with your family and friends and having a good old drink.
What Christmas means to you. For many people, I guess Christmas is their favourite time of the year. I think Ali would be in that category, wouldn't you? If you start playing Christmas songs in the middle of November. And some people love Christmas. Some people kind of tolerate Christmas. You might be in that category. Sometimes it's a bit of a stressy time for people, isn't it? Spending too much money on things that people really don't want. And then for some people, Christmas is perhaps even a sad time. Maybe because it reminds them of Christmas has gone past when maybe they spent time with people who aren't here anymore, and Christmas can be a tricky time. Somehow at Christmas, we realise our need to relate to other people more than any other time. And we celebrate relationships more than at any other time of the year. And people who have nothing to do with church get that, don't they? Which I think is why it came across in that video. People understood the need for family. And you have to ask yourself, is that missing the point? Isn't Christmas actually about Jesus being born into the world? Isn't that what we should focus on? Here's the thing. From God's point of view, Christmas is all about relationship. And when people say, the thing I love about Christmas is hanging out with my family, hanging out with the people I love, what they are doing is tapping into something which is so close to God's heart. Let me give you a verse from the Bible. This is our verse for the morning. It's all about Christmas, and it's not from the Christmas story as such, but it is about Christmas. It says this in Galatians, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And this verse tells us masses about what God thinks about Christmas. Let me give you the three things I spot. You see, one, it tells us that Jesus was born at just the right time, when the time had fully come. You could look at the time of Jesus' birth and think, well, that was a sensible time to be born, what with the Greek culture and the Roman political system. But why wasn't Jesus born somewhere else? Maybe in the 2nd century or in the 1920s. Why then? What this verse does, it's not God defending when Jesus was born, but what he is saying is, it was just the right time. I'm in control and I get it right. Jesus was born at the right time. And that's a message that I think we all need to hear at Christmas time and every time. God knows that we live in time. His timing is perfect. My timing is not perfect. That's why I'm not entrusted with Christmas dinner. There was, you know, some people are just good at sport. I was always average at sport. You know, I was never like the last person to be picked on the team, but I was always like second to last or third to last on a good day. And my observation is that the difference between people who can play sport and not is timing. Some people just inherently have good timing, and the ability to kick a football in the back of the net or hit a home run is all to do with timing. And I just fundamentally lack that ability, that quality of a sportsman. Do you know that God has perfect timing? He's at work in your life. He is gracious and he is good. And sometimes the seasons of our life just make no sense at all. And it seems like God is not listening to our prayers. But we need to know that he's in control. And he's in control of the timing. He has immense power, but his power is harnessed and controlled and worked out at just the right moments. As a church, one of the things we're praying into is that we might be able to purchase a building at the moment. And that gift day, that special offering we took is so good because it puts in a foundation stone for that. It enables us to show to the bank and stuff that our finances are in good order, and that's brilliant. And we're praying that this building comes available to us. And at the moment, the way I describe it is we're in a race and we're not winning the race. And there are other companies in front of us, and the owners want to sell it over there, not to us. And it's just in God's hands. We need a miracle in terms of the release of finances, but we also need miracles in terms of timing. And I wonder what God is doing through it all. But then I step back and I look in Scripture and I see a God who is a God of perfect timing. And we can trust him. And all throughout your life, you can trust God's timing. So that's the first thing. Secondly, Jesus was born into mankind. He was born of a woman, born under law. Jesus is the uncreated Son of God. He's a person within the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's the Son. Now, as God, he could have just appeared on earth as some kind of mirage or vision. He could have appeared physically. He could have come like the angel Gabriel did and just kind of, you know, been there like an extended angelic visit for 30 years. Why didn't he do that? Jesus was born into mankind. He didn't just live with people. He became a man. The Christmas story is utterly amazing. It was called Emmanuel, God with us. There's an old hymn that I used to sing back in the day by Charles Wesley. And one of the lines in it was this: our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Which I think just says it. So Jesus was born of a woman, meaning he was a real human being. He was also born under the law. And that means that God demanded of Jesus the same standard of holiness that he demands from you and me. But unlike you, Jesus lived up to that standard. He lived without sin, so that when he died on the cross, he was not paying for his sin, he was paying for our sin. The whole of mankind is under God's law. In the same way that everyone in the UK is under UK law. And everyone in Europe is under EU law. Let's not go there. Everybody is under God's law. No one has measured up to God's standard of holiness. And therefore I know that you haven't either. But Jesus was born to redeem those under the law. He was born into this world so he could pay your penalty, pay for your sin. And then finally, this verse, it gives us the whole point, the whole purpose for Christmas, the whole reason behind it all. Because it finishes that we might receive the full rights of sons. Jesus was born so that you might be adopted into his family as a fully recognized, fully integrated, fully belonging son or daughter of the living God. It was so that he could have a relationship with you. And when people say, well, Christmas, it's all about family. Well, it kind of is. It's about God's family. His whole plan for Christmas was family. Where you are his child. It's a family that he wants to include you in. He wants to include you in his family this Christmas. I guess at this time of year, more than any other, we realize the importance of relationships. Either because we get to enjoy the ones we have, or maybe even because we miss the ones we don't have. But the most important relationship you will ever know is the relationship with the God of the universe. And because Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem, you get to call our God Father. The next verse in Galatians after this one says, because we are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You get to call God Abba, Father. Abba was an Aramaic word for daddy. It's not a word of status and title. It's a word of relationship. So can I encourage you, take time today and tomorrow, over this Christmas period, to thank God that you can know him as Father. Even as you hang out with your family and with your friends, remember to hang out with God, who has brought you into his family. You belong to him. And because we share a common identity as sons and daughters of the living God, that kind of makes us brothers and sisters. And that's good. Unsurprisingly, the Bible describes the church as a family. Here's a little plug. In the new year, in January, I want to start off the year by looking at Grace Church, by looking at what it means for us to be a family together. What does it mean for us to connect together? And how do we get to live within God's will in step with his Spirit as a result of being family together? So just through the month of January, that's what we're doing. That's what's coming up. Even as you are thanking God that he is your Father, just take time to thank God that we have one another as well. That we are in community, in family together. All the people that you're in relationship with. And Christmas is a great time for hanging out with people you love. And in a strange way, this verse says that from God's point of view, that is exactly what Christmas is about. And I'll just leave one other thought with you. If you know someone who you think might be on their own or potentially lonely tomorrow, then it's not too late, is it? Maybe when you get home, to just text them or give them a call and say, would you like to come round to ours for Christmas Day? I'll just leave that with you as a suggestion you might want to think about. Why not consider doing that? But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a carol together to finish. I'm then going to give you some notices. And then we'll have some tea and coffee and some mince pies and some Lebkuchen together. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for Christmas. We want to thank you for sending your son, Jesus, into this world to be born as a baby in Bethlehem, but most importantly, to be taking up his place, his part in humanity, in mankind. We want to thank you that Jesus, as a man, lived a life free from sin. We want to thank you that when he died, he paid for my sin. And because of that fact, I can know you as Father. I can know my sin forgiven. And I can enjoy a place in your family forever. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Christmas. Lord, we thank you for your presence amongst us. And even now, today, as we gather as your church, as your people, we thank you for your presence amongst us as your people. Would you be glorified wherever we are as your sons and daughters? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.